This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
One more.
There's the man. There's the pop-up. 131.
Grimes relocates.
This is rebound. Chip gone. And the Rockets match their biggest comeback in franchise history in one of the wildest, craziest games that you'll ever see. Apparently, the Rockets have some luck in the Irish here on St. Patrick's Day as they survive and win. This is what they call March Madness, NBA style. 144-137, your final in overtime.
Craig Ackerman on the call, and that was as wild a regular season game between a sure-to-be playoff team, probably hosting a series in the first round, versus a team that's missing 11 guys and are clearly playing for ping pong balls last night. It was a wild night over at Toyota Center, man. The Rockets, 144-137 in overtime. They win, 7-game winning streak intact. 6-0 on the homestand that we said they had to clean. They had to wreck shop on. They've wrecked shop. They're the 2 seed right now. They were the 5 seed when the homestand started. It's a good day to be a Houston basketball fan, my friend.
It was versus a team that, you know, you shouldn't have put yourself in that position. The 76ers were shooting like it was a 3-point competition in the first half. And yet, ultimately, I think the play that pushed this into overtime was the perfect little. If you want to know why the Rockets have the record that they do this season, it's this. They are awesome at missing shots and then getting an offensive rebound and putting it in.
It was an homage.
So Jabari Smith Jr. intentionally misses a free throw. I'm going to start advocating this from the 3-point line because look, sometimes they just treat their outside shooting like it's an entry pass, and you might as well do it this way. So Jabari Smith Jr. misses a free throw intentionally. Şengün gets the offensive rebound because that's what the Rockets do, puts it in, and sends it into overtime.
They had not led the game at any point until they scored the first basket in overtime.
Well, they didn't want to show off.
It was a crazy game. This game was wild. The Rockets gave up 44 points in the first quarter. To your point, Seth, it was like Papa Shot for the Sixers out there. They shot 9 of 14 from three-point land in the first quarter alone. The Rockets were down by 25. So when Craig Ackerman is saying this is the biggest comeback in team history, the Rockets were down by 25 with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, came all the way back and tied the game at the end of the third quarter. So they'd completed the comeback at the end of the third quarter, and then they come out and give up the first 10 points of the fourth quarter. They're down 8 with a minute to go. And yes, the play that you heard, the play that Seth just described, Jabari Smith Jr., who was kind of looking around like, are you guys sure you want me to miss this? Like, yes, Jabari, miss this. The math says miss this right now.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, that was the cleanest and best free throw miss that I've ever seen.
It was really nice. He said he hasn't done it since high school.
Yeah.
And maybe with that, it's one of those things where you haven't done something in a long time, you just go for it, and he nails it. Gets a straight to, again, it was a pass to Shane Goon.
Well,
this is their best pass. Their best passing is
off the rim,
clanking shots off the rim.
Off
yes.
the rim, yeah. And it, the wild things about it, Shane Goon hadn't played in practically the entire second half. Like, they brought in Shane Goon and Steven Adams for that free throw, like some sort of Gestapo, like an offensive rebounding Gestapo, you know what I mean? Like, bring in the reinforcements and in walk these two golems, you know what I mean?
They're like a couple of gigantic twin Jake Marisniks.
Yeah.
Defensive specialists right. for the very end of the game, yeah.
Right. Bring in our two Marisniks. So they came in and it worked. And you watched the play, too. Like, Steven Adams did his job. He wiped out two guys on his side of the court. I don't know who the player was that was boxing out Alper and Shane Goon, and I don't know what he was trying to do. He was trying to draw a foul. It was literally the worst box out I think I've ever seen in an NBA game. Thank God it took place in that very moment. But that was cool. And Jabari did the interview with Vanessa right after the game on the court, on the broadcast. And I liked his take on it, which was basically like, hey, this will, even though this was against a bad team, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. But his point was, this will serve us better a few weeks from now than if we'd blown them out by 25.
Yeah.
You know, like the coming through some adversity, being down by 19 in the second quarter, being down by 25 in the third quarter, having to come all the way back multiple times, having to come all the way back at the end with Tari Eason and Fred VanVleet both having been ejected from the game. Tari fouls out and then gets ejected to boot, gets a technical foul on the way out. And then Fred VanVleet got ejected as well for a hard foul on one of the Sixers on a breakaway.
And it was an intentional, like, you just had to commit the foul.
In the 80s, it's a common foul. It's not
it
even
was,
a flagrant.
It was That was an injustice, I felt.
Yeah, yeah. So, I agree with that. Really the biggest thing out of all this, Seth, Ben, cue up the music. Over 43.5 wins. Hits.
Oh.
44 wins. Yes, I was on the Rockets.
There's so much time left in the season, though. Are you sure?
I don't think they can give him back, man.
Well, September, Seth is asking you if you got the right numbers there.
No, I got the right numbers. 43.5. Are you kidding me? If it's the money attached to it, I check every day.
Yeah, I was kidding you, but yeah.
As was I. So 44 wins. The only way they can give it back is if there's a pandemic, and I feel pretty good about that. If they don't play the requisite, play 82 games, all bets are off. Even the overs that have gone over.
I feel good about this group being able to thrive and succeed in a COVID bubble environment. I don't think any of these guys would be importing women in illegally or anything like a previous Rockets version. So I actually, COVID or no COVID, I feel that this is just a grittier, tougher, non bubble restriction violating team. Wasn't the smuggable lady in
Daniel House?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Daniel House back in 2020. Yeah.
That's a great moment in Houston sports history.
Dude, pandemic, man.
No, of all the weirdness that happened in 2020, just your basketball team getting penalized because one of them smuggled a woman into, what did he smuggle her into? It was this whole thing, okay?
It's a COVID bubble.
It was a COVID bubble.
Yeah.
What now?
Yes. COVID bubble. So the Rockets, and I look, 44-25, man, and especially having been kind of punched in the face on that recent road trip that they bounced back.
Yeah.
We were saying this going into this stretch of games that they won that last game of that road trip, and they were coming back home for the six in a row. And like, this is where they need to not separate themselves, but at least keep up with the pack of that 2-5 seed. And they put themselves on top of that pack of the 2-5 seed. They got two more games that are very winnable. And then a real tough stretch of schedule comes up. They got Orlando in Orlando tomorrow. They got Miami in Miami on Friday. Neither of those are world beaters. Those are both winnable road games. And then you start to pick up some of the Denvers and the LAs of the world on there.
Yeah,
down the stretch.
What was the quote from Jabari Smith Jr.? Whether we lose or win, we finna try to put a good effort out here and show some fight. We ain't finna lay down.
Mm-hmm. We just keep fighting.
I put myself in Danielle Lerner's shoes in that and trying to.
Did she write Finna or Fixin'?
She wrote Finna.
Finna. Okay.
She wrote Finna.
Okay.
We ain't Finna lay down. You write Fixing too. It just that wouldn't be right. It would almost be that you're painting out Jabari Smith Jr. as a guy our age or something.
Is Finna is Finna in Webster's?
Not yet.
It is. No.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in Webster's, but I put it in my Google search engine.
Yeah.
And dictionary. Oxford Languages. Yeah, well, just dictionary. You know, AI pulls up the thing at the top of your Google page. And Finna, two-syllable word, meaning going to or intending to.
Does it say that it's short for fixing to?
It just says, I'm finna make a scene. It does not.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into... The dialect is U.S., so it's a U.S. dialect. It's a contraction, Finna. It's a contraction of fixing to. It doesn't say that, but I'm knowing. Yeah, it just says it's a contraction is all.
You should go work for dictionary.
Okay, yeah, that would go
apparently
great.
Not dictionary.com, just dictionary.
It just says dictionary. I just put in Finna and it just pulls it up there. So yes,
Rockets are Finna do some business. That's what I'm telling you.
And you are using the King's English there. Current
no
King.
No cap.
Yeah.
No Did cap. I use that properly, kids?
Okay. As long as you mean they're going to make the playoffs, no cap.
All right.
Yeah, you're good. So that was good last night. You know what? Kind of, we have the petty cast at 8 o'clock today, and I'll get petty for one moment here. So I'm pulling open my Yahoo Sports app here just to check the time on the Rockets game or not Rockets game, Astros game today. Because as I texted you excitedly yesterday, this Astros game is on television today against the Nationals.
That's right. With Lance McCullers.
Yeah. So this is big. So I'm checking that. And on my app, the Astros are always at the top because they're flagged as one of my favorite teams. So they feed me that info. And then right below that are always any live scores going on. And it's 6 in the morning. Normally, there's not a live score. But I look down and like, oh, yeah, the Cubs and the Dodgers are playing over in, I believe, in Japan right now in games that count towards the regular season.
Oh, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The soft opening to the season.
Yeah, that's happening.
It makes opening day one of the most hallowed and treasured things in all of sports.
Right.
Japan. Technically bogus.
In the morning.
Major League Baseball tries to act and pretend like opening day is still opening day when, in fact, they've actually begun. How's Kyle Tucker doing over there?
0-2. Sucks.
You clowns, you fools. Anybody who knows anything about baseball knows that the first two at-bats tell you everything you need to know about a baseball season.
Yep.
Okay?
He's on pace. To go 0 for whatever. That's we're gonna get a lot of those today. A lot of tweets with hashtag on pace guy. You like those,
embrace it until it's no longer relevant.
Yeah. So there you go. Baseball season underway. If you can feel the electricity in the air, if you're wondering what is that electricity that I'm feeling in the air, if you like, I can cut this electricity with a knife. What is this? It's the Cubs and the Dodgers playing 15 time zones away or whatever it is. So there you go. Baseball season underway. All right, we're off and running on a Tuesday. Laremy Tunsil spoke with the media yesterday in Washington and talked about what he wants to improve upon and talked about his time and how leaving Houston was different than coming to Houston. We've got Laremy Tunsil coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Laremy Tunsil's got new friends. He met with the media in Washington yesterday. I don't think he went to the building and visited, but the press conference he did yesterday looked like it was on a Zoom where he was sitting on his front porch. So I don't know the logistics of his travel, but he's a Washington Commander now, and he did a press conference yesterday, and he said no hard feelings in leaving Houston.
I've been in this position before with the Miami Dolphins getting traded to Houston. So what I learned, don't take anything personal. Man. It's just strictly just a business. And I actually, before I left the building, I talked to those guys, D'Amico and Nick. And pretty much they're just trying to keep the young guys together. As simple as that. You know? When I was a rookie, and I would talk to my OG, who was Brandon Albert, and Jermaine Bushrod and Mike Pouncey, they told me it's a young man's game. You know, I've seen it for myself. You know, they drafted some young guys and they hit on every draft pick. You know, they're trying to keep those guys together. So I fully understand. Like, they just paid Stingley today. Like, they just gave their boy that bag. So I truly understand. Like, it's no hard feelings. Like, at the end of the day, it's a business. You know what I mean? I don't take anything personal. There's no hard feelings against the Houston Texans. You know, I thank them for just putting me in this position, and I thank you for everything they did for me and my family and changing my life. So I get it, man. When I was with Miami, I didn't get the courtesy call from Miami. You know, I kind of woke up out of my nap and got traded. So at least this time was a little bit different.
Okay, so he's talking about when Bill O'Brien traded for him. He probably woke up and found out on Twitter or got some text messages or something like that.
Well, remember when he got traded for Miami, he had a pretty funny comment about it. When he found out he'd been traded for 2 first-round picks, he said, I would have traded me too.
Yeah.
So it was easier probably not to take it personally that time around. And everything he said is true and accurate. And I think that's where there was kind of an emotional upheaval in a good way, or it just felt like an emotional cleansing in a lot of ways, because so many people were so tired of Laremy Tunsil's consistent false starts. Like, he was remarkably consistent in his false starting for the entire duration of time he was here. He was a league leader almost every single year. But that also, it does just financially make sense that when you pay guys like Derek Stingley, when you're probably going to pay guys like Will Anderson, when the Texans are in the situation they're in right now, two things can be true. One, yes, they're going to have to make some tough decisions on veterans and clear some space. But you do get to choose which expensive veterans you do that with. Mm-hmm. And there's some guy, an offensive tackle, who's a genuinely, if you're as genuinely good as some people want to talk about Laremy Tunsil, which is like a Trent Williams type, you don't let those guys go. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit to both sides of the issue here with Laremy Tunsil, both the fact that he wasn't a truly great all-around offensive tackle, he was a pass protection specialist, but then also, you clear almost $20 million off the cap this year, you clear way more than that next year, and it does open up things to be able to give guys these future contracts.
Yeah, that was clearly the story that was told to him by D'Amico and Nick. That's very evident, is that when he, if he wanted a reason as to why, the reason, because I agree with you, as he was laying that out, I'm going, as he's laying that out and him being told that's the reason why, they got some young guys they want to take care of. You know, I know this. I was one of those young guys at one time when I was in Miami. I talked to Brandon Albert. He was my OG. I'm the OG now, blah, blah, blah. I was thinking the same thing you were. I'm like, okay, the toxic nature of the offensive line room that we read about with Albert Breer, you know, does that just disappear into dust now that this is what Laremy was told? It's like, no, it's probably both. It's probably, maybe toxic is overstating it a little bit, but it's probably both.
The issue I had with that Albert Breer statement was that Albert Breer talked about the O-line room having a near toxic atmosphere, but that doesn't really fill in any details as far as whether it was Laremy Tunsil's fault, whether it was Chris Strausser's fault or Bobby Slowick's fault. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really feel comfortable using that as some kind of ammunition against Laremy Tunsil. Mm-hmm. There's lots of reasons a room can be toxic, and it doesn't Breer didn't specifically point out Tunsil necessarily. So I don't know exactly what all that was about, and I feel like it's a little irresponsible to act like it. But I am not, as I was talking about Trent Williams, the irony is not lost on me that Trent Williams forced his way out of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
When you talk about not letting go of a guy who's as good as Trent Williams, Trent Williams sat out an entire season because he flat out hated the Commanders when they were owned by Dan Snyder. It's obviously a different environment there now with the new ownership.
Yep. Laremy talked about the penalties. He was asked about the penalties, as he should be, with his new team. That is the one glaring thing, at least on the stat sheet, that sticks out about Laremy Tunsil. He said he wants to fix that.
I kind of just like challenging myself to find new challenges in my game to get better at. So every year I try to find something like, I can do this better, or I want to do this better, or I want to be known for this. So I kind of just put that chip on my shoulder by myself. It's really just me versus me at the end of the day. Especially there's a lot of things I want to work on, like, those 19 penalties I had last season was unacceptable. So that's something I want to address for sure, getting that number down or even having none. I want to keep growing as a player, honestly, as a pass blocker, a run blocker. It doesn't matter. I'm always trying to improve in each of those fields.
The always part, I guess, I would have an issue with, because he never really showed all that much interest in being a good run blocker, really, until this last year. I think he made some improvements by about midway through the season. He looked like, oh, here we go. The penalties, he's had in his entire career to start working on that. He's been amongst the worst. And the part that's always bothered me about Laremy Tunsil being so good in pass protection as he is that he does game the system a little bit in having all those false starts and pre-snap alignment penalties. The other genuinely great pass protectors don't get that many. They go back to Trent Williams. Trent Williams, on average, over the last 5 years, has somewhere between 0 to 2 pre-snap penalties per year.
Yeah.
It took me going back through Trent Williams for 5 years for him to have the same number. In the last 5 seasons, Trent Williams had the same number of pre-snap penalties as Laremy Tunsil had this season. So, like, Tunsil gets away with, hey, no big deal if I turn a 3rd and 6 into 3rd and 11 because it doesn't show up on my pass protection stats. Mm-hmm. I don't get marked against it in pass protection, but it's cheating the system a little bit,
yeah,
in a very selfish way. And that's what gets annoying to people. It's that the manner in which he would false start, where he's just trying to get the best jump possible and he's just continually stepping over the line and hurting his team. That's pure unadulterated selfishness, and there's no other excuse around it. That's the part that gets really, really old with fans.
Well, and it was at a number that couldn't be ignored this year. You know, if you get 4 or 5 instead of Trent Williams getting 2, you can brush that under the rug when you get traded to a new team. When you have, I think it was 12 procedure penalties, is the number 19 total penalties? Because that's the number he just gave out.
Yeah, it was 12 false starts. Yeah. I believe it was 2 or 3 illegal formations, lining up too deep.
There was the illegal man downfield on that Nico screen that would have been a touchdown. I know
That one, I actually, you know what? That's where it kind of turned, where I started trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he looked genuinely upset at himself for that.
It was the
first time I remember Laremy Tunsil looking like he was genuinely upset that he had screwed over the entire team.
Look like you care. That's the bar.
Instead of blaming others. Yeah. Yes. It was a big moment of progress for him because he's always working on something.
Yeah. One more from Laremy Tunsil says he's very excited to block for Jaden Daniels.
I can tell you this. I damn sure can't wait to block for Jaden Daniels. He's a baller. And just from seeing this on TV and watching film, and he seemed like he's a better dude too. And just hearing that from a lot of people just around the locker room. And his teammates from LSU, I know a couple of those guys. Just hey, a good person, a baller, so I can't wait. Go make my job hella easy.
Little disappointed he didn't call
He's
him
not
a dog.
Dog.
He's not a dog. Yeah, baller. He's a baller, not a dog.
You know who's a dog?
Who?
Davis Mills.
Yep.
According to Laremy Tunsil.
Yep.
You know who isn't? Jaden Daniels.
Just a baller. Mm. He's not a dog, man. Not a dog.
Davis Mills don't need no virtual reality goggles, you know?
Maybe.
Davis just goes out there and guns it.
That's right, man. Maybe if he's around Laremy enough, he'll become a dog. You know, you get in Laramie's orbit right there. You know, in his
space.
That's
the X factor.
Yeah, he'll draw some dog-like qualities from Laremy Tunsil.
I had a horrible, horrible dream about Laremy Tunsil a couple nights ago, and I think it was because I had it was a combination.
That feels redundant, by the way. I had horrible as opposed to the amazing dreams about Laremy Tunsil.
I had I feel guilty about it, but I know I woke up and I was kind of freaked out because I had a dream that Washington was playing in Philadelphia, and Tunsil was nowhere to be seen. It is because he just decided not to play that day.
Really?
So everybody in the Washington locker room was freaking out, trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Laremy. What the hell's going on with Laremy? And so this was playing out like a movie. And I jump cut to the scene where Laremy is driving over a bridge in Philadelphia. They have many bridges there, away from the stadium. And he had some staffer with him who was there with him against his will. And Laremy said, they were in a convertible. And at one point, Laremy said, watch this maneuver. He actually said that.
So, this is all happening in your dream.
And he goes and he jerks the wheel to the side like he was going to do a 180 turnaround or something. But he hits the embankment, and they go over the edge.
Jeez.
And as they're going over the edge, they have their hands up. They have their hands up like they're going down a roller coaster, and then scene cut. It goes to black, and I presume that they perished in this movie.
Okay.
But I woke up and I was like, what the hell am I wishing on people? And then I remembered I had put a GIF of Thelma and Louise in a video I did on my YouTube a couple days before that.
Wow.
So I basically put Laramie Tunsil and some staffer into a Thelma and Louise type situation.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Man, if it's that simple to just weave the themes of certain movies into your dreams, I'm just going to start putting GIFs up of some much more pleasant stuff than that. If it's just going to find it, seep its way into my brain. Here's my question. As you were laying that out, let me ask you this. Were you like a third person watching this whole car scene go on, or were you in the back seat?
It was like I was watching a movie, okay. Or I was third person, and I was watching it as if it was a movie or a news report or something. Because then later they showed still frame footage caught from traffic cameras.
Yeah,
and in it, this is the symbolic part that I think is related to the false starts. In it, Laramie, as they were plummeting to their death in this convertible, had this huge smile on his face, like he was having the time of his life. Whereas the staffer was petrified, and like clutching the door. Only Laramie had his hands up, and it was like this grainy black and white photo. But you could see that Laramie was smiling like it was his birthday. But the staffer was going down into his watery death.
So you didn't get to see exactly what led to the staffer being in the car. You just know from your dream that the staffer was in there against his or her will.
I vaguely remember, some kind of drama or something where Laramie, he'd forgotten something at home or something. Okay. Maybe it was his bright green glove red gloves.
Yeah.
He wanted to go get his bright red gloves at home, so he had some pizzazz on camera.
And decided to snag a random staffer to go with him. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we should point that out. Okay, the vast majority of his penalties were pre-snap. Or were pre-snap penalties. Yeah. He did have a couple of holds, and one of those holds was in the game where he was wearing the bright red gloves against the opponent's white jersey.
Right.
That make it extra easy to see that whether or not an offensive lineman is holding or not.
Well, he'll probably go with what, like bright gold gloves with the Commanders, I would think? Burgundy?
He started wearing, to his credit, again, when he started caring about run blocking this year, he was wearing white gloves the rest of the year, white or black gloves the rest of the year.
I gotta tell you, it was a very deja vu feeling watching these clips. I didn't watch the whole press conference. I just went and found the clips, the two or three that everybody was, kind of talking about afterwards. And it did remind me that at various times throughout Laramie Tunsil's career as a Texan, I was not happy with Laramie Tunsil for whatever reason. I acknowledge he's a good player and all that, but Texan fans can relate to this. But it seems like he would do a press conference and I would start to feel good about him again every time. Like, I liked him in press conference. And this one yesterday, I'm like, I got to admit, I'm a little sad we traded Laramie Tunsil. I kind of like Laramie Tunsil.
It's his voice.
Yeah.
He's got a very reassuring voice.
Yeah.
I remember that being my first impression when he met with the Houston media. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this guy could do voiceovers or something. He could definitely speak for an insurance company. I would buy that insurance.
Yes.
Knowing that they're going to screw me eventually, but at the very least, Laramie Tunsil would make me feel good about it up front.
Soothing Barry White voice. Yes. Yes, for sure. I wonder how CJ's feeling about it. I wonder how CJ is feeling watching clips of Laramie Tunsil blocking for his new friend Jaden Daniels.
I wonder how CJ's feeling about all of this.
Yeah.
He hasn't. Has there been an emoji tweeted out or anything like that?
No, that's not his game. He's not.
Right. Well, but I wonder. He probably wanted to express something publicly. This is me just guessing.
Yeah.
If I were CJ Stroud, if I put myself, hold on a second, let me do a little empathy exercise. All right, CJ Stroud tries to do right by his teammates, and he personally loves those guys, all that. He wants to maybe publicly express his feelings about Laramie Tunsil individually, but he also knows that anything he does is going to be hyper scrutinized.
Yes.
And that it's a dicey position to be in. So I'm guessing that CJ called or texted Laramie and maybe had a conversation with him, but he's withheld any kind of public statement just because you know how those things, there's almost nothing he can say that won't be interpreted as like, oh
well,
see CJ's pissed.
Especially the more you leave open to interpretation. Like if it's an emoji, it's the wild, wild west,
Remember Stephon Diggs when he got up and did his first press conference with the Texans? He handled it almost perfectly, and yet people found ways to act like he was trying to throw shade at the Bills. As he was flat out saying, I love those people, I love Josh Allen, people found a way to twist that into shade at the Bills.
Now, I feel like 100% something you just said happened, which was I feel like they've definitely communicated, Laramie and CJ, since the trade, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Unless CJ was the one the catalyst? Who wielded the knife. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I got a whole new feeling about CJ.
You know what? By the way, that's something I learned late in life. When somebody gets fired, if you don't reach out to them, oftentimes they think that you were the person who was behind doing them.
That's
in.
That's why I reach out to everybody who gets fired.
Guess I never really thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, so now, until so definitely the word, the other life lesson there is, A, chief life lesson, for one, it's a nice thing to do is to reach out to somebody, even if you weren't that close to them. But B, if you are the person that did them in, be sure you reach out to them.
Oh, yeah, good subterfuge.
You
got to
be Machiavellian here. Yeah. Play the game. If you're going to play the game, go all the way.
Hell yeah. All right, headlines coming up next. Texans make a couple of signings. The Astros, it's a big one as spring training games go today. It's actually at 5 o'clock tonight. We'll talk about that. Big win for the Rockets last night as well. Headlines are coming up next.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
One more. There's the man. Stand the cup. 131.
Bryant relocates.
This is rebound. Chip gone. And the Rockets match their biggest comeback in franchise history in one of the wildest, craziest games that you'll ever see. Apparently, the Rockets have some luck in the Irish here on St. Patrick's Day as they survive and win. This is what they call March Madness, NBA style. 144-137, your final in overtime.
Craig Ackerman right there on the call for Space City Home Network. The Rockets beat the Sixers last night, 144-137 in overtime. And this was a crazy, crazy game. The Sixers were playing without 11 of the guys on their roster. They listed the injury report before the game. I'm like, okay, this looks like a joke. Like, how many guys they have out for this game. And they were up. The Sixers were up, to Craig's point, by 25 at one point. They were up by 25 with a little over 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Sixers were. And the Rockets had tied the game by the end of the third quarter. That's how crazy the game was. And then the Rockets proceeded to be like, well, this is getting a little too easy. Let's go down by 10 as quick as possible in the fourth quarter, which they did. They gave up the first 10 points of the fourth quarter. They were down by 8 with a little over a minute to go. They had Fred VanVleet and Tari Eason get ejected from this game in the last 3 minutes of regulation, and they still found a way to win the big play that you heard there coming into the segment. Down 2 with about 3 seconds to go, an intentional miss by Jabari Smith on the back end of a two-shot foul. And Alperen Şengün, who had not played for nearly the entire second half of the game, like, he was coming in rusty off the bench, comes in and gets the putback on the offensive rebound to send the game to, they send the game to overtime. The Sixers got an amazing look at the end of regulation. I forget the player because I don't know who, other than Quentin Grimes, I didn't know any of these guys. Quentin Grimes and Jared Butler were the only two guys I knew that were playing for the Sixers yesterday.
Yeah.
One of the guys not named them got a completely, he shook Jay Sean Tate and got a totally clean look from about 13 feet and thankfully missed it. And the Rockets go on to win in overtime. Put your hands over the records of the two teams and just sit back and go, I'm going to enjoy an NBA game. This was one of the wildest NBA games of the season. It was super entertaining last night.
It was. It really, really was, in a way that, yeah, like you said, put your hand over the standings and forget that the 76ers are tanking or anything else like that. On this given night, for the number of Rockets fans who actually remained in the stadium, in the arena, up until the overtime, which wasn't as many as were there at the beginning, that it was a hell of a comeback. Two comebacks, really. I mean, Rockets scored 45 points in the third quarter. Awesome. But then they had to come back from down 8 with how much time left?
A little over a minute, something.
Yeah. And you get an intentional miss by Jabari Smith Jr., something he says he hasn't done since high school, and they executed it perfectly. It was everything. Sean, there's a book by John Irving called A Prayer for Owen Meany. Spoiler alert, everybody, if you're not going to read this 40-year-old novel. In it, these two kids who grow up with each other basically are practicing this basketball move on the court for years and years and years. They don't even know why they do it. They are obsessing over it. It's because Owen Meany was this short little guy, so his friend would, like, vault him up into the basket. And it all comes to a head in the climax of the book where they're in this situation where Owen Meany has to get a bomb that's in a building and throw it out of a window. So they execute the move perfectly. So this, I feel like this was a prayer for Owen Meany last night, where the Rockets, being a horrible shooting team and yet graded offensive rebounding, it all came down to this moment where you had to vault basically the basketball. In this instance, it would be Owen Meany himself.
Yeah.
Vault the ball up, and then Şengün grabs it and puts the game into overtime.
Yes. Losing to the Sixers.
Meant to be by God.
Losing to the Sixers last night would have been the equivalent of a bomb going off in Toyota Center.
The bomb going off, exactly. Yes. Yes. They saved all the good will and good tidings we've had for the Rockets in the previous six games.
Hey, as long as we're talking about the NBA, I love that analogy, by the way. Now I don't have to read that book. Thank you.
Yeah, I knew you were about to.
I knew you were about to read a book.
I'm amazed that that's what came to me this morning, as I was like, oh yeah, prayer for Owen Meany.
No, that's strong, dude. Did you, as long as we're on the NBA, did you see Tracy Morgan last night at the Knicks game? Did you happen to see this story?
No.
He projectile vomited sitting courtside and had to be carried out in a wheelchair at the Knicks game last night.
That's scary given his health history.
Yes, yeah.
I'm saying this without irony. I hope he was just drunk, because he was in rough shape for a while.
Yes, he was. Yeah. He was literally sitting courtside right next to the scorer's desk there. Yeah. And the picture that popped up on social media was him like with the stream of throw up coming out of his mouth, and then several minutes later there's video of him being wheeled out, of Madison Square Garden.
Wow, yeah, I'm guessing it wasn't because he was drunk then.
It was crazy.
If you're drunk and you throw up, you're like, get me out of here.
Just walk me out of here. Although, okay. Would you rather, if you're Tracy Morgan, is it a better look that maybe it's a health issue or that you got bombed and can't control your liquor at courtside of the game?
If he got bombed and couldn't control his liquor, that would just go in with everything, you know, a lot of his comedy in some ways. So they would be, it wouldn't be that bad a look.
Gotcha.
It's a bad look for him if it's actual health issues in that he doesn't.
No, I was talking more the public image bad look than the health. Yeah, obviously, if it's a health issue, that's a bigger thing.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Someday you and I need to do a show from Shangoon's city where he was born. I don't know if he grew up here or not, but Giresun in Turkey.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
Is that
100,000 people on the coast of the Black Sea? There's like a peninsula that juts out into the water.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so he comes from are we reading into his background here? Is he a well-to-do background guy? Is this like...
No. I just randomly thought, like, you know what? I've never actually seen where he grew up or anything. And if he grew up in Giresun, it's really, really pretty. I always think of Turkey as just Istanbul and nothing else.
They were...
Like every ignorant American. I'm like, yeah, that place, this place. All right, whatever.
They were running ads. It must have been during the Rockets game, because why else would you... I'm trying to think of where else it would make sense to run them, or more sense to run them in Houston. They were running, like, travel ads for Turkey during the broadcast last night. Like, why
would
visit...
go to Giresun in a heartbeat, man. It doesn't look like it's a resort town. It just looks like it's a nice little city on the coast of the Black Sea.
Yeah, I was watching this ad. I'm like, yeah, Turkey. Let's go. Vegas? No, we're going to Turkey. Lance McCullers is starting a game today against hitters in other uniforms. This is an actual spring training game. Lance McCullers against the Nationals. And the game will be on television at 5 o'clock today.
I'll tell you what, if he performs well in this game, we will schedule a trip to his homeland, Florida.
Tampa. Yeah.
We will take in all of the strip malls, all of the fine methamphetamine that Florida has to offer. And we will bask in the glory of the birthplace of Lance McCullers.
Do the Lance McCullers reality tour, see all the little spots in Tampa where he did different things.
All right. Oh, what will placate and appease the masses with a Lance McCullers performance?
Glad you asked this question. Hitting 95 on the gun is the big one I'll be watching out for. What's his velocity? A few strikeouts. You know, I and many others in baseball are a big fan of the strikeouts. So he gets some swing and miss. And then I think just probably efficiency. Like, he's not pitching deep into counts and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what jumped to my mind, is efficiency.
I want him to give up a lot of home runs like the last time we saw him on a mound.
If he can set a record for efficiency, just, you don't have to use that arm of yours all that much. Just get in, get out, stay healthy. Just for 162 games plus the postseason, that's all we need you for.
Velocity and command are the two big things, probably. You know, like, is his fastball hitting mid-90s? Is his off-speed stuff looking like are guys not going 3-1 on him and he's driving up counts? Like, is he controlling his off-speed stuff? That's mostly what I'll be looking for. And don't give up a lot of home runs like that World Series game. So that's a 5 o'clock today. The Texans make a couple of signings. They sign a true fullback, Jacob Johnson, who, coincidence, I don't think so, was in New England from 2019 through 2021 when Nick Caley was in New England and Nick Caserio is in New England. They know this guy. He's a fullback. Now, I don't know if I was getting one of those cut-ups where it was his only good plays he's ever had as a fullback, but the plays that were popping up, the plays that got algorithm to me last night, Seth, I'm like, oh, yeah.
You know my policy this time of year. With draft picks or free agent signees, try not to think too hard about it. Just watch the highlight reels.
Because
every damn guy that's been in the league for any amount of time can look like an all-pro when you watch the highlight reels. And there is some substance behind that, in that a lot of teams will look at people and say, hey, what can they do? Let's not fixate too much on what they can't do. What can they do, and can that offer something to us? So when you watch the highlight reel, it's fun to imagine, oh, okay, if they implement them and use them the right way, this is what we can get out of them.
Yeah, man. What do you think of the Ronald Darby signing and some depth at quarterback?
Yeehaw! That's what I think of it. Sam Warren pointed this out in the Chronicle, that there does, maybe this is just happenstance, but they've signed a few guys now that have championship experience, and you wonder, and it's not the marquee guys necessarily, but Ronald Darby won a Super Bowl with the Eagles when they played the Patriots. Justin Watson has won a Super Bowl with both Tampa and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
The more guys you can get on a team, the fullback they just signed has Super Bowl experience, right? The more guys you can get on a team that have that championship experience, I've noticed this from college onward. when you take guys who have won state championships, national championships, like Stingley and Lassiter have won, there's a reduced cynicism in those guys because they've seen that there's a payoff. That, all right, for all the propaganda your coaches are feeding you about this and that, look, there is a payoff. So it's good to have guys like that on the roster.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, it's an upgrade over having to trot Jeff Okuda out there as your third cornerback at a very base level. You know what I mean?
And I think that's the thing with Darby. He's at the tail end of his career, most likely, but he's been in the league for 10 years. He's not as good as he used to be, but I think there's maybe a stability. That would be another theme maybe so far. Stability and health. You look at Tomlinson, Lakin Tomlinson, the guard that they signed. He's older, he's past his prime, but he's been very, very healthy. So in the defensive backfield, I think with Ronald Darby, he's not going to be a starter, obviously. Who knows how much he plays, but they want to be able to trust him.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. All right, the Stingley extension came down yesterday during our show. Some of the aftermath of that. What are they saying about Derek Stingley Jr. out there in the marketplace? And a Texans legend advocates for this being the strategy moving forward. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.